We're going to continue with our scripture reading. Our scripture reading for today is Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 9. So I invite you to follow along in your own Bibles or on your apps or to close your eyes and listen as we focus on the Word of God. This is the Word of God. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here on Good Friday with everybody, seeing you all spread out. And as we begin our service, or as we continue in our service, and as I start my message here, get it organized. Who here has played the game of charades before? Yeah, charades is pretty simple. You need a volunteer. All right, I'll take this one. And all you do is, the rules are kind of flexible, right? So you show them kind of a picture of something or a word, all right? And then you ask them to act it out without words and saying it. And then you guys try to guess. All right, you're going to act this one out for us? Ballerina dancer. All right, let's try another one. No. Oh, yeah. Try again. Pewter. All right, maybe this one. Ice cream. All right, good job. All right, go take a seat. That's it. Now, even with a three-year-old, you can kind of figure out what's going on a little bit. You're familiar with some of these things. You're familiar with, ice cream. Maybe you're not all familiar with dancing like a ballerina. But you see these things and you can recognize what's going on. And, you know, as we look at the passage today and as I was studying this, the thing that kind of came to my mind is realizing that as Jesus came, and as we look at this passage in Isaiah, and we remember that it was written 700 years before Jesus came, 700 years before, they had this passage in Isaiah. So they would have been reading this scripture. Yet when Jesus came, they weren't able to point and say, that is Jesus. That is our suffering servant. That is the one that Jesus has sent to die for us. He wasn't recognizable. They couldn't say he is the one that we were expecting. Now, the section of scripture that we're in today, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to most of 53, this is one of the servant songs, and it forms a part of Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 49 to 55, okay? So this is just quick. And within that, there's three sections. Pastor Steve started it last week in chapter 49 with one of the servant songs. And in that servant song that he was talking about in chapter 49, the main idea is that the nation Israel had these expectations that because God had promised that he was going to send a servant. And that servant was going to do what Israel couldn't do. When Israel failed to represent God well, to be perfect, to represent him to the other nations, time and time again, forgetting God and eventually being punished, being taken over by other nations, they were going to go into captivity. But God, before they went into captivity, gave them this message of comfort that they can look forward with anticipation that God was going to send one day the servant that was better than Israel, their Redeemer, their Messiah. And so in last week, we looked at chapters 49, and that section goes right up to where we start today in 52. And they were looking in anticipation. Now, Isaiah chapter 54 and 55 are about the fact that salvation is no longer something that they're anticipating, but it's something that has already arrived. Isaiah is a difficult book, but I'm just trying to lay out this middle section. They're anticipating the servant coming and the Savior that will redeem them. In chapters 54 and 55, they're no longer anticipating it because salvation has come. In 54, it starts, it says, come all you who are hungry, come you who are thirsty and eat and drink. And there's this invitation because salvation has already come and they're asking the nation Israel and people to participate in it. Now that brings us to the middle section where we are today in Isaiah. This middle section, we'll just say it's 53, but it starts in 52. And in this section is the means by which that salvation that's talked about in chapter 54 and 55 is achieved. So in the middle, where we are today is last week we were looking forward in Palm Sunday to the anticipation of the servant coming. They're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us. And then within a week they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And that's where we find ourselves today in the great and famous servant passage. This servant song, this passage is talked about is referenced in the New Testament more times than any Old Testament passage. Over 40 times it's referenced. All the Gospels talk about it. And this is kind of the pinnacle of the Gospel in the Old Testament. You've heard this before. And what we're going to see in this is we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the servant. We're going to see that Jesus the servant lays down his life and offers us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. That's what he does in this great chapter. Jesus the servant lays down his life and offers us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. That's what we find. That's as we remember the cross today. That's what we're reflecting on, what Jesus did for us on the cross. So let's just jump right in because we are going to fly through this passage today. So as it starts in Isaiah 52, verse 13, it says, see my servant. And we'll just say that in Isaiah, the servant that it's referring to here, he uses this many times. It could be Isaiah is the servant at times. It's the nation Israel. But here in this passage, it's Jesus. And it says, my servant will act wisely. Another translation of that is just, he will prosper or he will succeed. So what we find in these first three verses, so the passage that we're looking at Every three verses is a different little section, okay? So from 13 to 15, what we're going to see is that Jesus the servant will succeed. He will be victorious, but he is shocking. In his last week here on earth when he was here and what he went through and after that, he is shocking. What we find, though, is as it starts, we are reminded that our servant, Jesus, who came to die, will prosper and will succeed. It says he will be raised and lifted and highly exalted. These are the words that are only used for God. It goes down in 15 and it says, so he will sprinkle many nations. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about the sprinkling of blood, which atones for sins. That's kind of the idea here, that this servant, that the nation Israel and that they were anticipating, will come and he will atone for the sins of many nations. That the kings who during the last week of Jesus' life are mocking him, are casting stones at him, who are, you know, they're not impressed by him at all. It says that their mouths will be shut because of him. That they will see what he will achieve, for what they were not told they will see, and what they have not heard they will understand. But in between there of this victory that's assured at the beginning of this passage on Jesus is this. Verse 14, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form so marred beyond human likeness, that in the process of his death, he was so marred and disfigured that people weren't even sure who he was because his rights were stripped away. He will be victorious, but in the midst of that, he is shocking, and the process of how he achieves success is shocking to everyone around. Let's jump down 53 verse 1. It talks about, in this passage, what we're going to see is that Jesus is rejected. Jesus the servant is rejected. And it comes and it says, he who believed our message and to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. As that passage starts, it talks about who's believed this message that the arm of the Lord has come. The arm of the Lord is this imagery in Isaiah that the strength of God has come. It talks about in other places that just with the word of God, he can dry up entire lakes, all right? Now, that's pretty incredible, right? He can dry up an entire lake and a lake bed, and they can just walk along it. That God's just his words. But here, as we talk about the servant, he comes, and it's God's mighty arm. It's not just his word. This is his arm, that he's coming in power, and he's coming in power to save. And he's coming in this amazing way, yet people are going to look at him and reject him. Because there's nothing in his appearance that was like, wow, he wears the best clothes. He hangs out with the coolest people. Nothing in his demeanor was like, I am attracted to this person. Pastor Steve talked about that a bit last week. Their expectations of what this servant was didn't match who Jesus was and how he was going to get victory for them. He wasn't just talking about saving them from the oppression of the Romans and the slavery that the nation Israel at the time had been under for 600 years. He was talking about saving them from their sins, from this void, the sin between God and man. And so we see that he was despised and rejected. Now, as we jump down to the next section, in verses 4, 5, and 6, this is kind of the pinnacle and what we are remembering today on Good Friday. And that's that Jesus the servant is our sin bearer. Jesus the servant is our sin bearer. And as we talk about the cross on Good Friday, you know, we can say and remember, one of my kids was asking me what the crown of thorns was. That doesn't come up in our passage today. But, you know, that was put on his head and he was bruised and all of these things. And when we look at the cross and remember the cross, we can say that Jesus was on pain, was in pain, you know. He suffered on the cross. He was pierced and he was crushed. But if we just say those things about Jesus, we would be missing the point of what Jesus did on Friday, on Good Friday and on the cross. He didn't just die on the cross. He wasn't just in pain, you know, he was crucified by other people. Other people have gone through this before. Other people had died on the cross. They'd been whipped, they'd been abused. The difference was, in this passage, it shows us, if you're following along, in verse 4, 5, and 6, surely he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel isn't that Jesus died on the cross. The message of the gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He died on the cross to give us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. Recently, we lost a Metro card in our house, and you know, it didn't show up for about a week. You know, a Presto pass as you're going through the TTC, and it didn't show up for about a week. So, you know, you go on the computer and you try to find it and see if it's been, because you can register it. And we went on, and yep, there it is. And yep, somebody's been using it. Somebody else picked it up, and they were traveling the city on our Presto card. So you can just kind of cancel it there, and that's fine. But you know, as they were traveling around the city, they were doing that on our money and on our Presto card, and they were charging it to our account. As we remember Good Friday, as we remember what Jesus did on the cross, he is offering to us, to each of us, and reminding us that he wants to bear our sin. He was innocent, we're going to see in the next part, but he willingly went to the cross. He didn't defend himself, as we'll see, as it talks about in the next passage. He went there and willingly gave himself up to bear our sin, to put it on himself. But not like a magic trick. I know one kind of card magic trick, a little bit of sleight of hand. You know, you're showing cards and you just do this little trick and then the card is still there and it's pretty, I don't know, it tricks my kids anyways. And sometimes. But the cross is not a magic trick. It's not sleight of hand. It's not Jesus dies on the cross and then, you know, that looks pretty good. The reason why the cross works is because Jesus was innocent, that there was no guilt found in him. But it only works when we realize that it's Jesus doing all the work on the cross. It's not that he dies for our sin and we keep holding our sin, keep trying to earn something. It's he has done it. He died for us. His, all of our iniquity, all of our sin, all the sufferings and pain that was due for us was put on him. And he asks for an exchange. He says, I will give you my righteousness when you realize that I died for your sins. Give me your sin, and I give you my righteousness. That's what we see in this section. Now, the incredible thing in this, in verse 4, is this, that as Jesus was dying on the cross and in this week leading in all the events surrounding his death on the cross, verse 4 says, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. As people went from saying, Hosanna, our Savior has come, they went to crucify him, and nobody there was defending him. Instead, they thought he deserved what was up there, that he deserved it, that he deserved what was coming. And so we find in verse 6, it tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Not some of us. He's laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That the, you know, you see that scale in the Pew Pew puppets, and that's great. All the iniquity of the sins of the world were laid on Jesus, and Jesus found that that was a worthy sacrifice, and that that was acceptable, and that as a result of that, we can be considered righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. Isaiah, as he is writing this, remember, 700 years before the events, he is writing this as if he is one that is there at the foot of the cross. I think Rembrandt did a famous painting, and he painted himself, I think, at the cross as well, realizing that he was one of the ones that put Jesus on the cross. Isaiah and ourselves, we are the ones that put him there. As it continues on in this last section, 7-9, Jesus, the servant, is innocent, is what we see. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He didn't open his mouth against Pilate. He didn't open his mouth in the Sanhedrin or against Herod. He didn't try to defend himself ever. And what we see in verse 8 is it says, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who of this generation protested? Nobody was there saying, actually, he's innocent. They couldn't see that the servant who was Jesus, though they had this passage, they saw his miraculous birth, his life, the miracles that he was doing, his teaching, all of those, they saw that. Yet in this time, on the cross, nobody protested his death. They were there saying, crucify him. His own followers were saying, I don't know who that is. He was innocent. Yet he wasn't tricked into going to the cross. He gave himself up, and he was obedient to his Father, just as a lamb is obedient to the shepherd who is taking him to the slaughter. And it says, it then says in verse 8, for he was cut off from the land of the living. The idea there is he has no more offspring, he's dead, there's no more lineage for him. Jesus is just cut off. And he was cut off for the transgressions of the people. He was punished. And he was buried and put in a grave. It doesn't end there, as you know. On Sunday, Pastor Steve will pick up the last three verses. But verse 10 does remind us of this. It says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And then the Lord makes his life a sin offering for us. He is victorious. That's what we saw at the beginning of this passage. Jesus is victorious. We're going to transition now into a time of communion. And as we do that, I want us to remember that Jesus, the servant, laid down his life. And he offers us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. So as we're here this Friday, don't miss the cross here in front of us. It's right there. Don't miss the cross this Good Friday. The sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross was for you. It was for each of you and for me. And he took your sin, he took your shame, he took your punishment because of you. Don't miss it. What he accomplished on the cross was salvation for us. Scripture tells us that the cross in front of us, that is the power of salvation for all who believe. So we're going to spend a few minutes in preparation just to meditate. And two things I want you to meditate on. If you've seen the cross before but never identified yourself or Jesus as the one that died for your sin, do that now. Spend some time with God and remember that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, your own shortcomings, and that he wants to bear that. He wants an exchange to happen. And the exchange is he wants you to give up your guilt and your shame, you trying to earn his salvation, earn happiness in this life. He wants to exchange that. You can give that to him, and he wants to give to you his righteousness in exchange. Right standing with him. If you are a Christian and you've made this commitment before, like many of us in this room have, I want us to remember that it was Christ's work, completely Christ's work. It's nothing else that we add to it, okay? He does, as a result of his work, we want to honor him, we want to serve him with our whole lives, but he accomplished it all on the cross on our behalf. It's his work plus nothing which has earned us the righteousness of God. So let's spend a few minutes in reflecting on this and remembering that Jesus also is no longer suffering anymore. He did rise again and he ascended into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God. He is in heaven right now, today. His sin offering, we know, was complete. It was perfect. The scales of God's scales went in his favor. As a result of this, and today and all over the world, Jesus has the great satisfaction, his joy complete in this, that he has the sheer pleasure of saying to people, you are deemed righteous because of my actions. This is what he gets to do. Our God continues to call people to himself around the world because of what happened on Good Friday. And Jesus has the good pleasure of inviting people in, of knocking on their door and saying, you are considered righteous because of what I have done. Come. So we're going to spend 2 minutes now, and then I will come up and lead us in communion.